T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe? Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And a good Saturday morning to you as we kick off your college football Saturday. We do it every week, all the way up until the noon hour here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You can find us on Twitter at 92.9 The Game. You can find us find this show at 92.9 CFB Game Time. John Chuckery at JMCH316. You can find Randy McMichael at RandyMac81. You can find me at ChrisGoForth1. Glad to have you with us. The show brought to you in part by Dos Equis. Keep it classy until kickoff. Good morning, John Chuckery.
My hand's raised, Chris.
I just kind of assumed that it would be.
Okay. Hornet Chuckery here.
What?
Want to congratulate Roswell High School.
Okay.
Advanced last night, beat Allatoona, and now we'll head down to South Georgia next week to continue in the playoffs.
Where are they going?
Thomas County. You know where that is? That's west of Valdosta.
Oh, I know about Thomas County Central. They were a damn juggernaut when I was in school.
Yeah, there's a lot of those high schools down there.
Just
west of Valdosta, so they will head down there for the next weekend for the advancement in the playoffs. But fear the sting, guys. So
morning, Randy.
Good morning, Chris.
Guys, let's hop into it. A story that came out of South Carolina this week. Former 92.9 The Gamer Mark Ryan has a show over in South Carolina. He had Greg Sankey, the commissioner of the SEC, on, and Sankey said that the SEC is leaning towards a single division system, meaning divisions go away. It's 16 teams. We're not going with pods or any of that, which I thought was a bad idea the whole time. It's going to be a single division, 16 teams. We'll see what the scheduling format is going to look like. But, guys, I think if we had this in place today, this season, we would end up getting a Georgia-Tennessee rematch in the SEC championship game, because most likely, Randy, I would assume this is going to come down to the two highest ranked teams.
Right. I mean, hey, whatever. Everybody else is going to it and everything. And I mean, the evolving of college football is going to continue to keep going on as we get further and further closer to the expansion of the playoffs. So, I mean, it's not a big deal to me. I look at it from a standpoint is that they need to do that in the Big Ten also, so we don't have to look at Ohio State demolish them, Iowa or Purdue or somebody. So, yeah, I think it's a good thing that's going to happen. And hopefully, I don't know if it's going to happen next year, but obviously it does seem like it's something that's in the future for the SEC.
Well, not to be the a-hole this early in the morning, but Mark didn't really break that story. This was talked about at SEC Media Day, specifically by Greg Sankey. In fact, I even have the quote that was from him.
Why you got to be SEC a damn Media hater, Day. Man?
No, I mean,
why can't you give Marcus Flowers?
Because he didn't break the story. Greg Sankey talked about this when we were at SEC.
I know this
Media Days,
but still, you know, give him his flowers.
Okay, all right. I mean, they had an SEC luncheon, so hopefully he got a free lunch out of the whole thing. But yeah, listen, it is what it is. I mean, you brought it up, Randy, because I'm gonna bring this up and by ourselves. Right now, Purdue leads the Western Division of the Big Ten. You want to see Ohio State or Michigan play Purdue? No,
yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, what have you got over there, John? You got like Purdue, Iowa, and is it Illinois?
It's a three-way. Right now in the Big Ten, it is a three-way tie with Purdue. I think it's Purdue. Is it Purdue, Indiana, or not Indiana, Illinois, and Iowa? Let me look real quick. Yes, yeah. It's Purdue, Illinois, Iowa, and Minnesota. All four of those teams are tied for the West, and Wisconsin is only one game behind them. So those four teams are 4-3. Wisconsin is 3-4. Nebraska and Northwestern are obviously out of it at 2-5, 1-6. So there are eight tiebreakers you go through if you have more than two teams that tie in one division in the Big Ten. So if there are three or more teams tied, there are eight tiebreakers that they have to figure out who gets the spot.
College football playoff rankings this week. Oregon dropped a couple of spots, and pretty much everybody else moved up. I don't know that there's really anything controversial that happened this week. I think these final 2 weeks, though, guys, it's going to be really interesting to see how this thing plays out. Can Southern Cal run the table? What happens between Michigan and Iowa? Michigan and Ohio State. If Ohio State wins, how far does Michigan fall? If Michigan were to win the game, I don't think that happens. But if it does, what would happen to Ohio State? And then, where would Tennessee fit into all of this as well?
Well, I tell you this about some of the stuff you just said, Chris. We talked about a lot this week on the show, and I remember how long we've been doing this show. I remember my main man John Chuck would always say that the Pac-12 would not be relevant until the big school west of the Mississippi or the Rockies or whatever
Rocky Mountains.
Yeah. Rocky Mountains would be relevant, and if they went out, I'm talking about the USC Trojans. They will jump Tennessee. If I'm just saying, if TCU wins out, TCU's going to get in, and for that final spot, it's either going to be probably up to Tennessee. And if USC is undefeated and they win the Pac-12, I think because they want that brand in the playoffs, I think USC would jump Tennessee. And I think Tennessee is better than USC, but because of everything you said, JC, all those years ago, that until the Pac-12 will be relevant when USC is good, I just think that they want that brand USC in the playoffs if they can get them.
Couple things, Chris. The best thing that happened to the Pac-12 this week was Oregon got eliminated, so all attention can be focused on Southern Cal. I don't disagree, Randy, with what all you said, that if Southern Cal – look, here's what they want, Chris, too. They want more of a national footprint for the playoffs, right?
Right.
I mean, look, let's be honest. If you have Georgia, Bama, and Clemson – I was talking with Bill Bender about this week. You got Georgia, Bama, Clemson. You got three schools that are about 2.5 hours away from one another, right? I mean, everything gets focused in one area. And if that's the way it works out, that's the way it works out over the years, right? But they want to make this more of a brand. They want to make it more, I hate to use the word inclusive, but I mean, that's what they want. And so if there's an opportunity to legitimately put in a Southern Cal, I think even more than Oregon or Washington or Utah or anybody else, again, they can put in Southern Cal, then they'll do that. I'm with you, Randy. They will absolutely put that brand name in that, they'll sort out the one-loss programs, and Southern Cal will get a bigger benefit than, even Michigan or, Tennessee at that point. And obviously, if they win the conference, that will give them the extra as well. But that was the best thing that happened to the Pac-12 was now all the focus can be squarely on Southern Cal, and can they, finish out these last? And by the way, they'll have beaten UCLA and Notre Dame headed into the Pac-12 game. Yeah. That will help as well.
Yeah, I think one of the other things too, and I don't think it happens, but I mean, it's a possibility. If Michigan ends up beating Ohio State, would two Big Ten teams get in?
Well, I think so.
How many weeks have I asked you guys this very question? I've been saying, I think it's more likely that two Big Ten teams get in right now than two SEC teams. I'm telling you that the committee is not going to put Georgia and Tennessee in another 1-4 matchup.
I'm with you on that. That's the part that I'm with JC on that, and that's why you're looking at if TCU loses, does that elevate Tennessee to 3? You know, and I think that would be the biggest thing for the committee if they can get Tennessee in at three, and then you would have two SEC teams. Well, but I just don't – and I'm not saying – crazy things have happened. I just don't see where they would put Tennessee at four and have that Georgia
– Well, let me ask you, Randy. So are you telling me that a one-loss Tennessee that does not even play in their conference championship game would go to three over five conference – you have five Power Five conference champions. I mean, okay. I don't know how you justify putting them at three.
Well, then what would you do then? Because if TCU loses, okay, right. Which everybody thinks they are, I'm not on that bandwagon. Okay, that's going to knock them out. We know that. So you're telling me that the loser of Michigan and Ohio State stays in the four?
No, here's what I think is that if there's a close game next week between Ohio State and Michigan, the loser of that game. Especially if it's Ohio State, if they because of their brand, if they lose in a close game, I think those teams are more likely to get in because Georgia's going to stay. Assuming Georgia doesn't lose to LSU, Georgia stays at number one.
Right.
I think that they are going to look at Southern Cal.
Oh, I agree. TCU, no, I agree with that. Yes.
But what I'm saying is for that three spot, TCU, even one loss TCU, one loss Southern Cal. If those teams are all conference champions. Because I think I think the SEC champ is one, the Big Ten champ is two, and then you're talking about whoever wins the Big 12 or Pac 12 champion as a one loss, they're getting the three spot.
Because TCU is that one team that like everybody's like, so you think a one loss TCU team will still get in?
Here's what I say: a one loss conference championship team is going to get in over a one loss didn't even play in their conference champion. I'll say it like that. Whatever you want to put the sticker on the side of the helmet
right.
of a con, you know, the committee has always made it very clear that conference champions are supposed to matter. If you go to their website and they talk about criteria, conference champions are supposed to weigh heavy. And
I agree. Okay.
They will take a conference champion in the top three over somebody who doesn't even play in their conference. Now again, you can put whatever sticker on the side of the helmet that you want. It's just what I'm telling you, their theory about what they are going to look for.
No one outside the top 10 this late in the year has ever made the college
ACC's
football playoffs.
So. Good. ACC's out. So there's no discussion with the ACC.
Georgia, they probably have a one-loss champion?
Yeah, they will.
The problem there is unless Georgia Tech, schedule.
Unless Georgia Tech rises up today. I mean, unless you tell me Georgia Tech is – going to make a stand today.
Yeah, the problem there is strength of schedule. It's the thing that would hurt Michigan as a one-loss team is the fact I think Michigan's strength of schedule is somewhere in the 80s or something like that. I mean, they have the worst strength of schedule of any top seven team, and I think that's going to hurt Michigan in terms of if you don't win being that one-loss team to try to get in, probably still going to end up being in the top 10. But as far as being in that top four, that'll keep them out. Georgia and LSU have both clinched berths to the SEC championship game. So we know the matchup that is set now for the first Saturday in December at Mercedes-Benz Stadium with those two. That was decided last week.
Well, I mean, how many people call this one?
Okay. So, again, the question let's ask this question. Two-loss LSU wins the SEC title. Are they
nope.
in?
Nope.
Oh, I disagree.
I disagree, too.
Yep. Chris, you'll beat Alabama and Georgia in a month and win the SEC? You're in.
I think this goes back to when Auburn played Georgia, when Georgia went to the first national championship under Kirby.
So the only chance that – I'm sorry, Randy. The only chance the SEC has to get two teams in is LSU beating Georgia? Because there's no way you leave Georgia out.
No, Georgia's in. No, Georgia's going to be in.
Yeah, Georgia's going to be in either way. Georgia's going to be in either way. But if LSU upsets them, you beat Alabama and Georgia in a month's time and you're the SEC champion, they're in. I don't think there's no way that you're going to tell me that a SEC champion in the best conference by far in America gets left out. You really believe that the conference champion of the best conference by far in America gets left out?
Well, one, we've never had a two-loss team make it.
Okay.
before. So history says it won't happen. And secondly, honestly, guys, I think Georgia will smoke them in the SEC championship game in a couple of weeks. So I don't think we're going to have to deal with it.
Chris, I'm with you on that. I mean, the line's already 16.5 for the conference championship game. My point is, if that happens, if they beat, right, if and buts are candy and nuts, it'd make the world a sweeter place. I mean, if that happens, they're going to put LSU in.
It's college football game time here on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Chris Goforth, John Chuckery, Randy McMichael. We'll take a trip around the SEC. We've got a it is cream puff Saturday in the SEC big portion.
Before we get out, I want to mention what an awful tragedy at the University of Virginia this week with the shooting of the players. And, of course, they're not playing this week. ACC teams are going to have the sticker on their helmet, I believe, and all that. Just an awful, awful situation up there, and prayers and well wishes to all of the players and families and everything. Just a horrible story up there.
We'll go around the SEC next. We'll get to it here on College Football Game Time. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
College football game time, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Goforth, John Chuckery, Randy McMichael as we go around the SEC as we do every week around this time. Guys, look, it's a we'll get to Georgia, Kentucky. There are a couple of conference games. For the most part, though, this is kind of that off week, if you will, before the rivalry games that take place next week. So we'll get into that around the conference here in just a minute. Before we get to this week, though, real quick, I did want to touch on last week. It wasn't a pretty game, Auburn and Texas A&M, but it was a great moment for Auburn. I don't know if you guys got a chance to watch it, but especially at the end of the game. You had Cole Kublik, one Auburn guy, getting a chance to interview Cadillac down on the field after that game was over, and just the emotion and the fans sticking around and everything that went into it for a program that has not had a lot, if anything at all, this year to cheer about. Randy, I thought that was a pretty cool moment on Saturday.
That is a special place down there. I've been there at nighttime when it's like that. It was a special place. I know Lack came out last week early and, you know, challenged the fans to be in attendance, and they stayed through an awful football game. But just the atmosphere and the passion that one coach, because that man, I'm talking about Cadillac, he bleeds that Auburn color. He is War Eagle all the way through. And the fact that my favorite part, when they were walking on the field, arms locked, and they're interviewing them, everything, just the atmosphere and the way the players just fought. And like you said, Chris, stayed through what was an awful football game.
I want to mention one thing about last week, Chris. Watching that Ole Miss, it wasn't that long ago, guys, that Ole Miss was the premier passing program in college football. Their forward passing game last week against Alabama looked like Army in 1947. I don't know. I mean, Dart couldn't throw it to anybody. He's bouncing balls in front of – I mean, I don't know how they've regressed so far in their forward passing game when they just had, you know, the Bo Wallaces and the Shea Pattersons and the Matt Corrals and all that. That was awful to watch their passing game last week. I mean, they, you know, listen, Judkins was unbelievable, but their forward passing game, when they needed to make a pass, he couldn't throw it anywhere. I don't care what kind of route the guys threw. That was awful to watch.
I thought Alabama played well, especially up front, Randy. Byron Young, heck of a game. He took over at times. And if it seems like this year in the SEC, we've seen several teams at various points through the year. I think it's been a little bit of a trend with Alabama. It feels like to get off to a slow start this year.
I think that was all about that coming to Jesus moment that Bryce Young had with his offensive line. And you saw Nick walk over there, walk in the huddle, was like, okay, Bryce got this. And that's when they took off and everything. And I'm with you. And just the disappointment Lane Kiffin had on his face after that game, because we know Lane, he's a fun guy. He likes to poke the bear and all those different things. They wanted that game so damn bad. He wanted that game so damn bad. And for Alabama to find a way to win that football game, I put it all on Bryce Young, man. This dude, he is an amazing, amazing football player. And it's just so weird not knowing that Alabama is out of the SEC championship this late in the season.
Let's get to some of the games going on today now, including Georgia and Kentucky. That game is 3:30 on CBS today as Georgia heads to Kentucky. Guys, look, Kentucky's going to have to play out of their mind to be able to hang in this one. What they do well, John, is run the football, but on the opposite side of the field, that's what Georgia does really well, and that's stop the run. Georgia load the box today, shut down Chris Rodriguez, force the football back into the hands of Will Levis, and when that happens, I just think Georgia, it's one of those where, you know, it'll probably be something like 20-7 at the half, and then Georgia's going to end up winning something like, you know, 43-10 or something like that when it's all said and done.
Two things on this. Kentucky's got to stay ahead on the chains on this. They are 70th in the country in third down offense. Georgia's third in the nation in third down defense. So if Kentucky gets behind the chains at all, they will not be moving the football very often. Let me ask you both a question. And I understand the level of competition is different, okay? So you have to factor that in. Did Will Levis play a lot better when Chris Rodriguez wasn't there the first 4 weeks than he has since he's been back?
You know what, JC? I don't know. I think he's hurt still. I do. He just doesn't look like himself. And also, that's, I mean, 30 damn sacks. I mean, 30 damn sacks has been allowed. But – you know, this was always the you know, when we were at SEC Media Days, we were talking who's the second best team in the East.
It's
and a lot of us.
Supposed to be their year.
It's supposed to be their year. And then Chris Rodriguez missed the first month of the season, and Will Levis is hurt and banged up. But I just think in SEC play, he throws for like 150 yards in SEC play, you know, and that's not just this year, you know. So I'm not going to say that, but I just think that this is what they wanted to do. But I just think Will Levis is hurt.
Chris, one other quick stat. UGA is minus two in turnover margin this year. Kentucky is minus four in turnover margin. So neither of these teams does a great job of gaining turnovers.
Let's go to South Carolina as they host Tennessee. That's a 7 o'clock kick on ESPN. Sellout crowd. I think it's another chance, guys, for Tennessee to impress the committee. You know, John, you laid it out there how USC, TCU, the loser of Ohio State and Michigan all stand a chance to maybe get in ahead of Tennessee when it comes to the college football playoff. I think that's the reason why for everybody on social media that was so up into their feelings last week with Tennessee scoring that touchdown late against Missouri. I think anytime you have human beings making a decision, style points, margin of victory, all that stuff matters, just like they did last week. I think Josh Heupel's going to look to get everything he can today against against South Carolina.
Well, Hendon Hooker lit it up in the first half of that game. I mean, they were sending a message last week that, hey, our offense is, you know, it's still the premier offense or one of the premier offenses in the country. And Hooker went nuts in the first. I think he had 229 yards in that first half, and he threw a touchdown and ran for another one. Randy, let me ask you this question. South Carolina's had a really nice year this year at 6-4. Mm-hmm. Have they done this a lot despite the play of Spencer Rattler,
who's got no doubt
8 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, 65% completion percentage? He's only got 1,968 yards. And Randy, I understand that, look, in college football, if you take a sack that goes against the quarterback's rushing total, he's had 55 rushing attempts for 8 yards on the season is what his numbers. And I understand the negative yardage from sacks goes against rushing totals in college football, not in the NFL, but in college football it does. But still, he's not had any kind of great year, and they find themselves at 6-4 through all of this.
Well, he's the lowest passer, rated passer in the SEC. That's one thing. He just does not look comfortable at South Carolina. Now, could that just be the first year? I know one thing. His ass better come out of school. That ain't a no-brainer. Remember, 2 years ago, he's supposed to be number one overall pick.
Yeah.
He better take his ass back to school. That's one thing. And, you know, I want to see them get more weapons around him. You know, my son, they actually lost their playoff game last night, but he has a teammate that is an outstanding athlete that's going up there. He needs to get more athletes like that around him, and then we'll see, because they're going to be able to run the football. But, yeah, he has been – and I didn't have the highest of expectations for him anyways. You know, I think a lot of people fell in love with the Spencer Rattler Oklahoma name and all those different things. When the NILs came out, they were like, oh, look at all the stuff Spencer Rattler has. He's fallen off. And maybe this is just who he is. Maybe he just ain't that good. But I think we would get one more year of him.
By the way, our producer, Chris Garrett, was at Randy's son's game. So, and Randy was nice enough to send Garrett to go get him a Coke. So
That is not true. That is nice. Don't even.
That was nice.
Whatever, man. Whatever.
Well, this is College Football Game Time, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, as we go around the SEC. Ole Miss and Arkansas, that's 7:30 on the SEC Network. 30 degrees at kickoff, by the way. That's expected tonight. That is, again, this is a 7:30 kickoff on the SEC Network. It's going to be 30 degrees at kickoff. A low tonight expected around 16 at Arkansas. You're talking about a matchup of two of the best running backs in the SEC. Now, it does look like Arkansas is going to get KJ Jefferson back today. Look, 52-51 the score last year. I don't know that we see, 103 points put up today in this one in sub-32-degree weather, but this one has a chance, I think, to be another fun one. And look, the way these two like to run the football, they may play this game in an hour and a half.
Well, first of all, it's big to get KJ back. They say he practiced all week, so that'll be the biggest for them. And I'm with you, JC. They can't throw – Ole Miss can't throw the football. Arkansas can't stop the pass, so we'll see how that goes. But, yeah, this is going to be a fast game. The weather, whatever, it ain't going to be snowing. I saw the field. It's a little icy, but, it should be fine by game time. But, yeah, the Arkansas underachieving has really been surprising to me. I thought they were going to be a lot better. Now, that does have to do with that their quarterback has been in and out of the lineup. But, is Ole Miss, are they still playing for a Sugar Bowl?
Yes. I was about to bring that up is – Look, they're still playing for a Big Six bowl game when all is said and done. You know, look, win this week, obviously win the Egg Bowl. And Chris, I think where they're at right now, they are if Tennessee doesn't make the playoff, you know, because well, maybe LSU, I guess, maybe losing the SEC title games in the Sugar Bowl. But I think that Ole Miss is in play right now for a Big Six bowl game. So there is some things to play for, I think, still for Ole Miss out there. And look, Judkins and those guys, you know, they were still really good running the football. When they needed to run the football last week, they could do it. But Jackson Dart, I mean, that kid had a scholarship to the University of Southern California.
It started some games for him.
He did. He absolutely did. And you know, again, you've got to be able to throw it there. I don't know. Their offense really got one-dimensional last week. Arkansas has been a very one-dimensional offense. I'll bring up the numbers from last week because those two quarterbacks combined that started last week in that LSU-Arkansas game didn't throw for as much as Hooker did in the first half.
All they had to do was complete two passes, and they win the football game.
Yeah, I mean, it just, you know, again, getting Jefferson back, it certainly can't hurt, but both of these teams have become very one-dimensional in their offense.
Big rumor this week that centered around Ole Miss was about Lane Kiffin and whether or not he was the top candidate at Auburn. I didn't realize this. I guess there's some sort of law in Mississippi that state employees cannot get a contract longer than 4 years.
Okay.
All right.
So there is a – here's, you know, Auburn – if you believe what's out there, Auburn's willing to give him 10 years guaranteed.
Well, we have seen an Ole Miss coach go to Auburn, so that's
not unusual. Yes, we have. There's precedence for that to be able to happen. So we'll see how that plays out. But that was the hot coaching rumor that circulated this week is Lane Kiffin going to leaving Ole Miss and headed to Auburn. So more on that as we go through this morning. By the way, real quick, I do want to throw one thing out there. Texas A&M takes on UMass today. Texas A&M favored by 33.5. Do either of you two think Texas A&M can score 33 points?
No.
No. And UMass's only chance is if Dr. J goes off and goes crazy today. That's their only chance.
All right, he's worked on it all week. He's been burning the midnight oil. John Chuckery has his world-famous buy or sell.
Smells good.
We'll get to it next. It's college football game time. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's time now for John Chuckery's often imitated, but never duplicated, world-famous buy or sell segment.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back with you on College Football Game Time on this early Saturday morning, hanging out with you till 12 o'clock today. Randy McMichael, Chris Goforth, John Chuckery. We will get to our big game of the week, UCLA and USC. But first, of course, this is Buy or Sell, 10 questions for the guys in the world of college foosball. Chris, let's start with you. Notre Dame is the second most disappointing team in college football this year. Buy or sell. Notre Dame is the second most disappointing team in college football this year.
You know what? I'm going to sell that. I would have agreed with you a couple of weeks ago, but it feels like Notre Dame is look, they've turned this thing around. They sit 7-3. They'll beat Boston College today, go to 8-3 and head out to Southern California next week with a chance to have a 9-win season and go to a bowl game. So, is it disappointing by Notre Dame standards? Sure. But I think there's other teams, including two in the SEC, like Kentucky and Texas A&M, that I would put ahead of Notre Dame.
I looked at the preseason rankings. Do you know that Notre Dame was actually fifth and A&M was sixth?
Yep. Yeah.
Notre Dame was fifth in the preseason rankings.
How about Oklahoma, Randy? You want to talk about disappointment?
Yes.
Look at where Oklahoma was in all the preseason magazines and polls.
So Randy Mack, Notre Dame, the second most disappointing team in college football by or so.
Well, I didn't know Notre Dame had seven damn wins. So, and they had 12 yards of offense in the second half against Navy. I mean, they were just god awful and held on to barely beat them. I'm going to sell that. I think it's A&M. I think it's Kentucky. I thought, of course, A&M is definitely by far the most disappointing team. But I'm just shocked that Kentucky is playing as bad as they are.
All right, Randy, this question comes from the other half of Mac and Z. Tennessee is the most overrated team in college football, buy or sell. Tennessee is the most overrated team in college football, buy or sell.
That sounds like some crap he would say, so I'm selling that. How the hell is Tennessee overrated?
All I do is ask the questions.
Yeah, how the hell is Tennessee overrated?
I get the questions and I ask them, Chris.
No, I'm selling that.
Chris Goforth, from the other half of Mac and Z, Tennessee is the most overrated team in college football.
Well, I think you guys know where I am on this, but Tennessee to me is the one team, and I know they lost to Georgia, but that had more to do with Georgia than it did Tennessee. Georgia's just a better football team.
Yeah.
The one thing I'll say about Tennessee, though, guys, show me a game this year where Tennessee's had a letdown. I mean, they've come out, Heupel's had those guys ready, and they have come out and played every single week. It was a little sluggish early in the year against Pitt, but every other team, you go through that top 10 right now, we can find every other team where there's been a little bit of a letdown. Maybe they weren't on it that week. Tennessee got beat by a better team in Georgia, but outside of that, Tennessee has not had that. They didn't struggle for a win over Missouri or have a struggle win over a team like Kentucky earlier. Tennessee's come out and punched people in the mouth this year with the exception of Georgia. So, no, I think this is a – and I've been the biggest Tennessee doubter. You guys should know that from the conversations we had early in the year. I've been kind of the guy going, well, the other shoe's going to fall eventually and this thing's going to crumble. And it hasn't happened yet. That's very much a team that's in my opinion, very worthy of being in the top five.
Well, we know Chris is an SEC homer. See, that's where we're at. So, anyway, Chris, of quarterbacks with at least 250 career passing attempts, Stetson Bennett is going to finish with the highest completion percentage in Georgia football history. Now, let me give you where it's at right now. Number four all-time is Grayson Lambert at 63.1%. Jake Fromm is third all-time at 63.2%. Stetson right now is number two at 64.3%. And the all-time completion percentage leader in Georgia football history for a career. Randy, any idea who it is? Who's number one?
Percentage career.
Completion percentage.
Oh.
It ain't who you think.
David Green?
Nope.
Shockley?
Nope.
Who?
Aaron Murray?
Hudson Mason is 65%.
Oh, okay.
Right at 65% all time. So, Chris Goforth, of quarterbacks with at least 250 career attempts, Stetson is going to end up finishing with the highest career completion percentage in Georgia history, buy or sell.
Yeah, why not? I mean, I think he can have a successful day today against Kentucky and next week against Georgia Tech. Again, Randy, as I mentioned earlier, I think they will absolutely light LSU up in a couple of weeks in the SEC championship game. So why not? I'll buy it.
Randy Mack, of quarterbacks with at least 250 career attempts, Stetson is going to finish with the highest completion percentage for a career in Georgia football history.
I'll buy it. I'll buy it. I mean, he has two more games. I mean, well, they count bowl stats, too, nowadays.
Yes, they do. Yep.
So, but yeah, I'll buy it. Why not?
Randy Mack, Quinshon Judkins and Raheem Sanders will be the two first-team all-SEC running backs, buy or sell. Judkins and Sanders will be the two first-team all-SEC running backs, buy or sell. By the way, that's 1 and 2 in the conference right now as far as rushing leaders.
I'm trying to think who would be the second. Judkins is definitely going to be one. Yeah, I'll buy that. I'll buy it.
Chris Goforth, Judkins and Sanders will be the two first-team all-SEC running backs, buy or sell.
Yeah, I think that's the matchup to watch in this game today between Ole Miss and Arkansas is those two guys going at each other when their respective teams have the ball. Yeah, I'll buy that all day. I like both of those guys.
By the way, at SEC Media Days, Chris Rodriguez and Tank Bigsby were the two preseason picks, and then Jahmyr Gibbs out there as well.
Well, a lot of people, you go back into the spring, John, and I think a lot of people didn't even expect Sanders to be the guy that got the bulk of the carries at Arkansas.
Right, yep. Chris Goforth, Purdue will win the Big Ten West, buy or sell. Purdue will win the Big Ten West, buy or sell.
Oh, my goodness.
Go look at their last two games that they have yet to play. They have Northwestern and Indiana.
Well, since you put it like that, yes, I think Purdue, I'll buy that. They will win the Big Ten West, but my gosh, how ugly will that Big Ten championship game be?
Randy Mack, Purdue will win the Big Ten West, buy or sell.
Hell, I guess.
Oh, man. I mean, can't they just forfeit or let Ohio State, Michigan play one more to really decide it all? I mean, just anything. I mean, honestly. All right, Randy Mack. This will be TCU's second highest points per game offense in school history. So they are currently at 40.5 points per game. So here's your leaders. 2014, that Peach Bowl that was here in Atlanta. I went to the media days for all that.
Was that Andy?
No. That was Boykin was the quarterback. That team that could have been in the playoff at 12-1 that year. The 2014 team was 46.5 points. The 2015 team was 42.1 points. The 13-0 Andy Dalton Rose Bowl team in 2010 was 41.6. And then in 2011, they were 40.8 points per game. So when all is said and done, this is going to end up being TCU's second highest points per game offense in school history, buy or sell.
I'll buy that. Where'd you say they are now?
They are 40.5, so they are basically a point and a half away from being the second highest scoring team in school history.
I'll buy it.
Chris Goforth, TCU will finish as the second highest points per game offense in school history, buy or sell.
Yeah, I'll sell that. They've got two games left at TCU against Baylor and Iowa State. Iowa State, despite the fact that they're 4-6, they haven't given up a ton of points this year to anybody. The most they've given up was 31 to Baylor. In order to get there, TCU's going to have to put up a bunch of points these final 2 weeks. I know Baylor looked awful last week defensively against Kansas State. I think they correct that this week. I still think TCU wins the game, but I don't think they're able to put up the kind of numbers these final 2 weeks that they're going to need in order to be able to get there.
Chris Goforth, the University of Southern California, the Fighting Wendy, Lauren, and Alexis, will finish with at least 12 wins for the first time since 2008, when Mark Sanchez led them to a Rose Bowl victory over Penn State. Buy or sell, Southern Cal will finish with at least 12 wins this year for the first time since 2008. Buy or sell.
In order to get there, they would have to win out, and I don't think they win today.
Wow, okay. All right, so you're selling.
Yes.
Randy Mack, Southern Cal will win at least 12 games this year, the first time since 2008. Buy or sell.
I'll buy it. Why not? I mean, that means I'm giving away one of my picks today because I think USC wins today. I got to change that pick.
Keep it. I think they win today too. So, yeah. Randy Mack, Michael Penix will lead the nation in passing yards. Ooh. Buy or sell. Here's where you're at right now. Okay. Penix is the leader in the country, 3,640 yards. Mm-hmm. Austin Reed of Western Kentucky is 3,550. Drake May is third at 3,412. And then Kyle Van Treese of Georgia Southern is fourth at 3,302. So Michael Penix will lead the nation in passing yards, buy or sell.
Let me think. I'm trying to pull up their schedule real quick to see who they have left because I think that, I mean, when we talk, people keep talking about Will Levis. Why not Michael Penix? I mean, this dude has been just amazing. Let me look at their schedule real quick.
Certainly if they had a comeback player of the year award.
Oh, he wins. Okay.
Yeah, no doubt.
Okay, here are the games. Versus Colorado at Washington State. Yes, he's going to win it.
Chris Goforth, Michael Penix will lead the nation in passing yards, buy or sell.
Yeah, just like Randy said, I'll buy it.
Chris Goforth, the Big Ten will have three of the top five leading rushers in the country buy or sell. Here you go. Chase Brown leads the nation at 1442.
Okay.
Dwayne McBride at UAB is second at 1407. Blake Corum is third at Michigan, 1349. And Mohammed Ibrahim is fourth at 1261. Oh, sorry. Carson Steele of Ball State is third, excuse me, at 1376. Then Corum is fourth, and Ibrahim is fifth with 1261. So the Big Ten is going to have three of the top five rushers in the country, buy or sell.
Well, that harkens back to the glory days of Big Ten football with the way they're running the ball this year. Yeah, I'll buy that. I like all three of those guys.
Randy Mack, the Big Ten will have three of the top five rushers in America this year, buy or sell.
Well, I'm buying that, man. I mean, the kid from Minnesota just loved the fact of how he's bounced back from that terrible injury. I thought Corum actually led the nation to rushing, but he runs a deck on football. But yeah, I'm buying that.
Yep, Chase Brown still leads at 1442. Yeah. All right, and finally, Randy Mack, Georgia Tech will average under 20 points per game scoring for only the third time since 1995, as they currently sit at 17.1 points per game. Georgia Tech will finish at under 20 points scoring per game for only the third time since 1995, buy or sell.
Hell yeah, I'm buying it. Did you see them play last weekend?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they are horrible offensively.
Chris,
horrible.
In the more modern era, they won't set a school record, but in 2005, they averaged 18.5 points a game with Calvin. 2019, they were 16.7. Then you have to go back to 1994 at 16.8, 1981 at 11.3, 1980 at 10.3, and 1979, they were 13.8. But, Chris, Tech will finish under 20 points a game for the third time since 1995, buy or sell.
Yeah, I'll buy that. You guys realize against FBS opponents, the most they've scored in a game this year was 28 against Virginia Tech. They had 26 points against Pitt, and everything else has been, you know, one other game in the 20s. Everything else has been in the teens or single digits.
It's buy or sell.
All right, John Chuckery's world famous buy or sell. We bring it to you every week here on College Football Game Time. We're going to kick off our second hour as we take a trip around the nation. Look, the focus of college football today is out west. We'll head that way as some big games going on today, including TCU's got a big one today. You've got game of the year out in Los Angeles between USC, UCLA. We'll talk about that. We'll do it as we continue. It's College Football Game Time, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.